This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time.
Okay, thank you. I apologize. Just for the record, what we went through was a roll call, which has been written down by Glenn. We approved two sets of minutes of 28 May and 9 July, and we've just begun the discussion on item 4, the charter motion for IRQPB-PDP. And Tim, my apologies, since you had just started, if you could restart, and then we have the whole conversation on.
Sure. Well, this charter was originally discussed in Sydney. Pretty much as you see it on the wiki, with the exception of the last paragraph just before it goes into the working group processes. The issue was raised by Two Cows, Elliot Noss of Two Cows, that he felt there was currently some ambiguous language in the existing transfer policy that made it difficult for staff, evidently, to enforce certain aspects of that policy. So the point he was strongly urging us to consider was that we be careful with any recommendations out of any of these transfer working groups, that they're not ambiguous, and that perhaps they've been actually reviewed by the compliance staff or council to be sure that they are clear and that they're enforceable. So that was discussed among us on the council, and we decided to try to amend the charter to make that clear. And so the last paragraph was added, which says, to inform its work, the working group should pursue the availability of further information from ICANN compliance staff to understand how elements of the existing inter-registrar transfer policy that are applicable to the above questions are enforced. The working group should also request compliance staff to review any policy recommendations it develops and provide advice on how the recommendations may best be structured to ensure clarity and enforceability. That's the added text. The rest of the charter remains unchanged.
Okay, thank you. I'll open up the queue for any discussion. Anybody wish to discuss this? Any questions?
Did you not move that?
Excuse me?
There's a motion I need to watch for the whole idea of understanding. Otherwise,
I wasn't able to catch that. It was just me, or?
I didn't catch that either.
Okay, so I couldn't tell who was speaking or what they were saying.
It sounded French.
No, it wasn't me.
Okay. It wasn't me.
Okay.
Catalonian.
Zahid and Terry Davis have just entered the call, Avery.
Oh, so perhaps it was that. Okay, so does anyone wish to ask any other clarifying questions or have any issues before calling a vote on this motion? Okay, this is a motion for creating, or this is approval of a charter proposed by Tim Ruiz and was seconded by Chuck Gomes. Is there any objection to taking a voice vote on this? Okay, hearing no objection to a voice vote, all those in favor of accepting the charter as it is currently written in the published wiki page, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, the charter has been approved unanimously. Okay, thank you. Moving on to the next item, which is the joint CCNSO, GNSO, IDN working group, the JIG, or J-I-G, draft charter. And Edmund, can you take us through this?
Sure.
Thank you.
I think the discussion grew out of the previous IDNG discussion, but it really expanded to, well, shouldn't say expanded, but the tangent off to another direction after a lot of interactions in Sydney. The main thrust of the idea is that it has become I guess, increasingly apparent that there, as we go down the path of implementation of IDN TLDs, whether it's IDN CCTLDs or IDN GTLDs, that there are a number of issues of common interest between the CCNSO and the GNSO because of the expectation where there would be some sort of a consistency of policies being implemented in the IDN TLDs, whether it's G or CC. So the drafting team earlier on that was working on the IDNG concept also started looking at this. We had a meeting with the during the lunch, the informal lunch with the CCNSO, the GNSO and CCNSO lunch. We brought up the discussion about potentially forming a joint CCNSO-GNSO working group, and I think we got a pretty good response from the CCTLD, CCNSO, and thereupon myself and Zhang Jian from the CCNSO corresponded closely to put together the draft charter that that is being presented right now, and of course getting feedback from both the GNSO side and the CCNSO side. Essentially, we're talking about just not really going into very details of the charter. It's not very long, but essentially what we're saying is that that the work group will discuss matters that both the CCNSO and the GNSO feel would be issues of common interest, whether it is that there would be some interrelation between IDN CCTLD and IDN GTLDs, for example, the length of a IDN TLD. Previously that CCTLDs are two characters. In the IDN part, the IDN CCTLD fast track has pretty much concluded that IDN CCTLDs will not be limited to two characters, and so that would have an impact on the IDN GTLD side as well. The other part would be issues where the implementation of certain policies, for example, both the CCTLD side and the GNSO have recommended the adoption of the IDN guidelines from ICANN and the IDN language tables, but we haven't really provided a very concrete implementation for staff in terms of the approach of adopting these IDN language tables between the CCTLDs and GTLDs. So this is one area that's quite apparent that there should be some coordinated, consistent approach for the root zone. So the charter basically describes these issues and potentially other issues that could be of common interest. And then the membership of the working group, after much discussion, there is interest from the CCNSO to ensure that there's some balance in terms of in terms of participation. So and within the CCNSO, they have this approach where some balance between the five regions of five ICANN regions is important. So the suggestion right now is that five members will be appointed from the CCNSO and five from the GNSO, and then plus the chairs of the CCNSO and GNSO or their appointed alternate to be on the working group. And that essentially is what the charter says. Oh, and there's a part where, you know, once the IDN TLDs are actually implemented, that's the natural closure of the working group, except if the both councils feel that it's valuable to continue the working group. So that is essentially the what the charter is about. And in terms of the resolution, it's quite straightforward. Just points out the a little bit of history of how we got here, and that the IDN-CCTLD fast track is going on, and the new GTLD process, which includes IDN-GTLDs, is going on, and we're talking about some implementation issues that would be common between CCTLDs and GTLDs, and to resolve to create this joint working group with the CCNSO. And just one more point is that this charter is being discussed at the CCNSO as well, and the intent is to have a common charter to work together on.
Okay, I'm going to open up the queue. I'd like to start with a couple questions. So one of them I think you just answered, which is the status in the CCNSO, so they'll be voting on this. I guess another one is if there are issues on the charter, I assume that they'll go back and forth between the two SOs until it and as if we approve a different charter than they do, or if we want to amend this, then it has to go back and forth, correct?
Correct. In that case, correct. But I guess what I'm hoping to, I guess the understanding is also if there's some, you know, very minor editorial changes, then we can still say it's sort of based on what is presented right now. And I think that, and I think we might, because I actually see a couple of typos now. But in any case, if there is any material change, any change of any substance, then yes, we'll have to go back and forth. We're hoping that won't happen, and that's also why we have been collaborating quite closely with the CCNSO on the drafting of this charter already.
I understand. Okay, thanks. Other thing I wanted to ask about, and then open up the queue, is under the membership, while you list the invitation of people from the technical community, are there likely to be any possibility of liaison spots where the ALAC or the GAC or ESAC or whomever of the other community organizations wanting to have someone as at least a liaison participant? Is that something not envisioned, or is that possible?
No, that is possible. In fact, the charter does say that to seek participation from the technical community as well as from other areas within the ICANN community.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, so that's fine. So and they would be by invitation.
Yes, and there is the intent to invite them.
Okay, yeah, and if somebody sends an email saying please invite me, that works. Okay, great. I'd like to open up the queue.
Yeah, Avery, Stefan, please.
Stefan, anyone else? First,
Chuck.
Chuck, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Stefan.
Thanks. I just a statement, really, more than a question. I want to say two things. The first is that I'm very encouraged to see both SOs working together in this way. I'd like to commend Edmund on basically bringing that about from our side, and also commend him on the way that he's allowed this issue to evolve from an initial position that was posed more of a problem for our constituents at any rate to this one, which is one we're much more comfortable with. So, well done.
Okay, thank you. Chuck?
Yeah, I also want to commend Edmund for the good work. And just a point of clarification, Edmund, it's my understanding that the latest changes that were made to this charter were made in response to CCNSO's suggestions. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, which hopefully will then facilitate, minimize any additional substantive changes that might need to be made.
Right. And, I think Hantron is on the line as well, and he has been kept in the loop as well, and Zhang Jian, and also Chris, and Bart as well has been kept in the loop in the discussion of the charter.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Oh, this is Tim.
Tim, yes, go ahead.
I was just
kind of following up on something that we were assuming, and actually Stefan alluded to it, but looking at the agenda, it looks like the IDMG working group is still, Edmund, are you still intending to move forward with that in the context of a fast track for IDMG TLVs, or is this instead of?
If I can answer, that was, and then Edmund can certainly add, what we discussed is that this was a motion that that drafting team was ready to come forth with. I think the other one is still under discussion, and whether it comes forward or not is something, and that's why I have that one under sort of the status area, I think. I think that's where I put it.
Right. Yeah, and I think this one we have more of a consensus with, and the other one, which is the IDNG GTLD fast-track concept, or not just fast-track, but some dealing with the time parity issue, that I don't think we're quite there yet. But if you ask me personally, I'll talk about that later as well. But I'm still interested in talking about it. I think it's still an issue, but this is not included in this part of the motion.
And this should be totally separated from that now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, in fact, depending upon whether it gets
approved. This is Tim. I have a follow up on that. So just.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Is it okay for me to speak?
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to state that I personally, and again, I haven't discussed this with my fellow counselors or the constituency, but I think in general you'll find that, you know, there's little support for the IDNG concept of the fast track amongst registrars. And so just a suggestion that, you know, with everything else going on, perhaps, you know, some consideration should be given to kind of putting that on the back burner, so to speak, while this JIG group gets formed and moves on. And perhaps from the work that's done there, it'll be concerns that caused the IDNG group to come about may be alleviated through the work of a JIG. Just a suggestion.
Okay, and we can continue this more when we get to the status point when, you know, Edmund gives his arguments for perhaps why he wants to continue it now. But so continue that discussion later. Is there more discussion on this, on the approval of this charter motion before calling for a vote on it? No? In which case, okay, the motion was made by Edmund and was seconded by Chuck. Is there any objection to a voice vote on this? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Are there any abstentions? Okay, thank you. It passed unanimously. Thank you, Edmund. Okay, moving on to the next item in the agenda was item 6, which I termed initial discussion, developing a GNSO policy strategy for 2010. And I sent out an email this morning, I don't know if everyone had a chance to read it, about why I was basically sticking this on the agenda at this point. And the main reasons being that, and I'll go through it quickly just in case anybody didn't have a chance to read it, is one that this has been something that has been on the to-do list for at least a year, and lately there's been more and more sort of prodding from people working on strategies, from board members, from others of, you know, when are you going to get to the policy strategy. I have been keeping it off, and I think it was discussed once before, because we had to finish the essential restructuring and bylaws work and all of that. But since that's essentially off the council's plate, even though it's still very much in the constituencies and stakeholder group's plate, I was thinking that it was time to get to this one. Now, this is one of the items that is brought out in the board's recommendations for change, and I went through the document and basically listed a whole bunch of the pertinent bits of text talking about the fact that the GNSO Council, the GNSO, was expected to develop a policy strategy, and you know, both immediate term and longer term, and so it was time to start that. So I mean, I don't, and I also discussed in that short note sort of the, you know, council that is on its way out and is trying to finish work and hand things off to the new bicameral council, and, you know, the fact that, well, we need something to hand off, and trying to have Seoul be a point where this discussion really gets started and that new council has something to sort of work with from day one. So those are the reasons I put this on. I wanted to open a discussion on this. Obviously, the opinions can range from, no, we absolutely shouldn't touch this at this point, to, yes, it's about time, and also comments on, you know, ways in which this should be done. Is it drafting team type of activity? Is it some other way? And so I'll take a cue on opening the discussion. Anybody want to go first or second?
Put Chuck in the queue, please.
Chuck. Anyone else? Okay, Chuck.
I've been thinking about this a little bit, having a little more advanced notice than some others probably. But one of the issues is, of course, and parts of recommendations that came forth in several documents in this, is that we coordinate more closely with the ICANN strategic plan and ICANN, more tactical plans and so forth. In thinking about that, it seems to me that the strategic plan is organized in some very high level, I think it's 5 or 6 high level categories, and that may provide a broad basis and organize our thinking here. And so I just throw that out as a possible structure or work at a high level.
Okay. Anyone else wish to comment? Do people think this is generally an idea of work we should really get started with or not? I'd like to get some opinions on that.
Well, it's Mike.
Hi.
We
okay.
Sure do have a lot of other things going on right now. Not sure, you know, who would be willing to volunteer to take on this kind of work. And I know you're sensitive to it, but we all need to be sensitive to kind of putting new direction to the council that's going to change pretty dramatically at the next meeting.
Certainly. And one of the things that I mentioned is I wouldn't see the work that this council did as being priority setting, because that would definitely belong. But I also think that there has to be some continuity in the GNSO. There's a certain amount of continuity. The constituencies are what they are, and they still will be. I don't know that there'll be new constituencies in Seoul. There may be, but still the current 6 do remain. So there's a certain amount of constancy over this changed council. Anyone else wish to comment? Are there people that would be willing to work on this if this started, or would it just be an effort that would languish?
Can I speak, Tony Harris?
Certainly, Tony.
Actually, I agree with what Mike just said. I think basically we sort of wading through and sorting out quite a few things with the reform in the GNSO. It seems like adding this might be rather a lot at this time.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? So I guess the impression I'm getting is that in general, people would prefer that this didn't happen at the moment, and it just wait for the new council to take this up. Is that a correct view? Because as I say, this was one of our 6 month activities, I think, that we've obviously postponed. But I just wanna and perhaps I'll need to, you know, say something at some point to postponing this to the next council. Is that the general view though, that really this should wait?
No.
Okay. No one has a contrary view to that. Okay. So then I guess what I will try to, because I do believe that there was a certain amount of starting something within 6 months, I'll see if I can craft a note just informing the SIC of where we are on that, and I'll send that note to the council for vetting before sending it, and in no hurry to do it. We're way over the first period anyway, and so, but just to put on record that this is an activity that is being tabled until the new council sits, and then it'll be on, you know, it'll be suggested for its initial agenda. Any other comment on that? Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, the next item is the status updates. So the first one is the board update. No adopted board resolutions on 26 June. There's their agenda coming up for tomorrow or something? Well, no, the end of the month. Who's on the call for that one? Is Denise here?
Aubrey, this is Rob Hogarth. Denise,
okay, so you'll do it, Rob?
Apologies. Yes,
okay,
she's traveling. So I'm going to take the laboring oar on this, but I will keep it brief. As many of you know, it was a quite full board agenda in Sydney. The detailed resolutions and other items discussed at the board meeting are on the ICANN webpage under the Documents tab, and then within that under the board meeting transcript, minutes, and resolutions. So that'll be where you find the official results of this stuff. But what I wanted to do is just give you some of the highlights, some of the notable things that took place in just a few minutes here. The board discussed 7 substantive consent agenda items, a couple of GNSO improvements items, and several other items that I think merit the council's attention. On the consent agenda, the board approved the sole meeting as the annual general meeting, so I guess we'll all still be going there. They approved the community-wide working group charter for the review of ICANN's present geographic regions, so finally closed the loop on that. They also approved the BGC's recommendations of board committee leadership selection procedures, as well as the BGC's recommendation on committee membership. A number of board members switched committees, and a couple of new board members came on and got their assignments. The board also approved the composition of the CCNSO review working group. They discussed and approved the allocation process for single, two, and select three character domain names in .pro. Apparently there was a contract amendment proposed as well that they approved. And they acknowledged the receipt of the ICANN plan for enhancing Internet security stability and resiliency. Those were the substantive consent agenda items, a couple of others there that I'm just skipping over. There were two actions with respect to the GNSO improvements. One is that with respect to stakeholder group charters, the board basically reinforced its direction to the SIC, Structural Improvements Committee, to continue working with the community on the stakeholder group charters. They reinforced and formally approved a new timetable extending the seating of the new council to the Seoul meeting in October. And they directed the staff to post for public comment the draft bylaw amendments that you guys had been working on. They also discussed briefly the GNSO improvements item of proposed GNSO constituency applications. And with respect to that, they directed the Structural Improvements Committee to move forward with that work, evaluate the proposals, and make some recommendations to the board. I'm going to pause there just to see if up till now anybody has any questions.
Anybody? I'll take a cue if there are any. Doesn't sound like there are any. Rob?
Okay. I will continue and pause at the end for questions as well. The board also adopted the FY10 operating plan and budget. They approved a number of appointments to the ESAC. They also discussed and approved a resolution with respect to the display and usage of internationalized registration data. That's a pretty important component that I just wanted to highlight for you, so I'm going to read that resolution. The board resolved and requested that the GNSO and ESAC, in consultation with staff, convene an internationalized registration data working group comprised of individuals with knowledge, expertise, and experience in these areas to study the feasibility and suitability of introducing display specifications to deal with the internationalization of registration data. Unfortunately, Liz is not on the call, but my understanding is that she is working with a staff team to come up with concepts and ideas about how to deal with that resolution and how to work with you guys to get that in play. But that's an important item that I wanted to note for you. In a separate item entitled Prohibition of Redirection and Synthesized DNS Responses by TLDs, again, I'll read portions of the resolution for you because I think it has some significance to ultimately your work and some of the work that you do with your the people that you represent. The board resolved that new TLDs, including ASCII and IDNG TLDs and IDNCC TLDs, should not use DNS redirection and synthesized DNS responses. Staff is directed to revise the relevant portions of the draft applicant guidebook to prohibit such redirection and synthesis at the top level for new gTLDs and take all available steps with existing gTLDs to prohibit such use. There are some additional provisions to that, so if that's an area that interests you, I certainly recommend reviewing that resolution. The board also discussed and passed some resolutions with respect to the President's Strategy Committee's recommendations on improving institutional confidence. They listed 8 components. Half of those seem to relate primarily to GAC relationships with ICANN. In other areas, that will ultimately, I think, impact the GNSO Council. The board also resolved to approve staff working with the leadership of the SOs and ACs to establish guidance on disclosing and handling conflicts of interest across the SOs and ACs. Staff was also tasked to explore further improvements in coordination and potentially increased cross-participation between SOs and ACs, especially during the issue identification stage of a new policy initiative. The board also tasked the CEO with developing a staff code of conduct. The staff was tasked with developing procedures and guidelines for implementing the practice of producing executive summaries of all substantive and published documents. We currently, as an aside, try to do that from the policy perspective and also incorporate a translation component in that. So those were the major items with respect to improving institutional confidence. Again, if you'd like more detailed description of that, you can reference that. The board received some updates on a number of items, including the new gTLD process, and then subsequently resolved that the staff should continue with implementation work on new gTLDs. And then the specific additional language in that resolution is, with due consideration of all inputs and to produce a revised draft applicant guidebook and a comprehensive set of implementation documents for public comment and discussion prior to the ICANN meeting in Seoul. Additional items just that you should be aware of, but not in great detail, the board resolved to post proposed amendments to the bylaw provisions on various structural improvements, and this was with respect to Article 4 of the bylaws, and they acknowledged the ALAC Review Working Group's final report. That review process continues to move forward, and they'll shortly be reaching their implementation phase of that as well. Again, as an aside and an FYI, I am not volunteering for that implementation work. And then finally, in terms of more broad significance, the board elected Rod Beckstrom as ICANN's new president and CEO. They appointed Dr. Paul Toomey as ICANN's senior president. So that significant leadership change took place at the meeting. And then the rest is important, but I'm not going to get into detail. The various thanks for all the participants, hosts, and sponsors of the event. So I'm happy to attempt to answer questions on any of those. As you all know, I'm not the expert on all of them. So if there are additional questions, I'll float them to Denise or get some other staff input for you.
Okay, any questions, comments?
Yes, Tony Harris, can you put me in the queue?
Anyone else wish to be in the initial queue? Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, if I understood you correctly, Rob, about the new TLD process, you did say that there is a resolution to produce a new draft applicant guidebook. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that does not hinge on the outcome of the overarching issues, then. It's just going ahead on its own, right?
Well, I can't speak to that. All I know is what the resolution said is that they directed that that will be produced. What, you know, plans and what the staff plans in terms of what makes that up, I can't answer. I can certainly follow up and get you that answer, though.
Well, it's just a thought because the overarching issues seem to be hanging out there still.
Aubrey, please add me to the queue.
Okay, go ahead.
Rob, it may have been more than one motion, there was action or direction that, for example, synthesized records should not be used in CCs or Gs, but in the actual implementation, it was only directed at the GNSO, and in another case, the same thing applied with regard to the GNSO working with the ESSEC, even though it's impacted in the CC world as well. I'm only sharing that as a comment because I know you can't necessarily address that, but I just wanted to put on the record that it's kind of interesting that even though the CC world is it has the same issues, it's only the GNSO that's being directed to take action on it. Now, I understand they can't direct the CCs in most cases, but still, I think it's an important observation.
Thank you, Chuck. And in my overview, I didn't read the three additional resolutions, and to address your points, I'll do that right now. They're very brief, if I may. In Resolution 62620, the board further directs staff to communicate and disseminate in July 2009 the concerns regarding harm caused by the redirection and synthesizing of DNS responses with appropriate parties, including the CCNSO, CCTLD operators, and the GAC, who might be able to ensure measures are taken to assure the integrity of error responses as well as name resolution for CCTLDs. The next one's 2621. The board requests that the CCNSO provide a report on mechanisms that could be employed to ensure that redirection and synthesis at the top level is effectively prohibited. And then finally, 62622, the board invites the GAC to consider what measures could be taken to alleviate harm that can be caused by redirection and synthesis of DNS responses at the top level.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyone else wish to ask a question? Tony, I know you didn't get an answer to yours, but I don't believe there are any steps dealing with the overarching issues that are blocking factors for the publication of the next applicant guide draft. I don't believe that there's anything in the process that makes that a blocking factor. They will be included to the extent to which the staff decides to include them. Any other comments or questions on the board report issues? Nope, in which case, thank you, Rob. I'm sure we'll be coming back to you later with some of the other updates. We now have a CCNSO liaison update. That would be Olga. And then after that, there's the geographical region working group update, which I guess would be Olga or Jamil, or Zaid, but he's not here, so Olga.
Okay, thank you, Abri. About the CCNSO update, the IDN CCPDP Working Group 1 is starting to work. this working group has to produce a paper for public consultation on the topics and issues which need to be taken into consideration to propose a feasible policy for the selection and delegation of ID and CCTLDs. In order to meet this objective, this paper should be published at around the starting October this year. So the group will start to do several actions through that. The ICANN staff will prepare an initial draft, and then the working team will meet through teleconferences and through the working list, and hopefully we will make this document available for comments. Let me remind you about the members and observers of the IDN CCPDP working group. There are several CCNSO members. Of course, all the regions are represented, from Africa, Asia, Pacific, Europe, Latin America, and North America. Then there are two ALAC members, two GAC members. From GNSO, it's Edmund and myself, and Abri and Chuck are observers in the group. And then there's technical community representatives, SSAC community member representatives, some other experts, and some observers from CCTLD regional organizations. And then it's the ICANN staff. That's mainly the big news from the CCNSO. I don't know if there are any questions.
Let me stop. Is there anyone that would like to ask a question or add something? Okay, thank you. Olga, go on.
Well, now I change the subject. This is the GeoRegions working team. I don't know if Zaid wants to add something. I will summarize what we have been doing, and maybe he wants to say something, and maybe Rob wants to add something when I finish. Well, first, let me tell you that after a public consultation period, the group charter was approved by the board on the 26th of June 2009. Well, the working team has been meeting in teleconferences. We met face-to-face in Sydney, and also we have been working through the email list, and we have prepared an initial report. This report attempts to identify applications and functions to which ICANN geographic regions are applied currently and in relation with the ICANN structures and supporting organizations. This initial report does not attempt to identify problems. This will be included in next reports and in the final report, but this is only an initial one. Hopefully, we have been working on the last version of our draft first report, should be published for public comment soon. Maybe Rob can give us some exact dates, and should close someday in August this year. There will be a 35 days period for making comments to this initial report. That's mainly the news from the working the ICANN geographic regions working team. Maybe, Rob, you can point exact dates for this publication or add something to what I said.
Thank you, Olga. Yes, that was an excellent report. I have nothing substantive to add, only to note that, yes, we have sent the near final draft to the translators, and that process is what is somewhat challenging. The working group was very adamant that this report not be produced in pieces, but that we have the English version and all five other UN languages produced at the same time. So that translation work is underway. That just takes longer than we ever want it to take. The expectation and hope is that those translations will be finished by Monday so that we can post and open the public comment forum. And so when that opens, it will simultaneously be opened in all six UN languages. And if we follow that timetable, the comment period will end at the end of August, and that will give Olga and her working group colleagues a couple of months to then work through and produce the interim report, which is scheduled to be released prior to the Seoul meeting. That's all I have.
Okay, Zahid, did you want to add anything? I guess not, or it's hard to get off mute.
He's disconnected.
Oh, he's disconnected. Okay. Any comments or questions on this? Okay, in which case we'll move on. Thank you very much for the report. Okay, the next thing is the joint ACSO efforts. Now, there's one bullet point that should have been here that if I had been paying proper attention to the board motions, I would have already had here, and that's the prospective SSAC GNSO work. Next week, I'll also have an item in this one on the JIG, which will, you know, be a heading under this. The one that's under here at the moment is the RAA with AILAC. Where we're at on this one, and I'll invite, you know, staff members to give further update after I finish, is that having met the group, basically the group that we put together, the drafting team, met once, as large number of AILAC participants also, basically came up with an initial strategy that a draft charter would be written by Steve Metallitz for one side of the work, while Margie Millam from staff would take the effort of creating the first draft of the existing rights and responsibilities as can be found in current agreements. Those two activities have now been completed. There hasn't been any discussion to speak of, at least not on the list and such, of these items yet. I guess there's been the beginning of a question or a comment, but there hasn't been much discussion. And at the moment, there's a discussion about scheduling another meeting that can basically take these two documents and figure out where we go. Are we chartering a working group to do the part that resembles the charter? Are we putting together drafting team? How do we take these documents forward, or rather these two activities forward? And that's still a discussion that has to happen. And that's about as far as I've gotten with it. There's been a little bit of discussion about how and when to schedule the next meeting, but we haven't closed that yet, and I haven't closed that with Cheryl on the AILAC yet of you know, next steps.
Avery, it's Alan. I finally made it onto the call.
Oh, hi, Alan. Do you have anything to add to what I just said?
I only heard half of it, but I think that
okay.
That's basically what I remember.
Okay. And anyone, the draft, I don't know if Margie has sent it out yet. I believe she has.
She sent it out yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm sending it out, posting it to the list after this call, so it'll go out.
Thanks.
Okay.
Is really quite a substantial piece of work, and I recommend people take a look at it and such. Any comments or questions?
So, it's Mike.
Yes,
Mike. I mean, it's been 4 months since we voted on the RAA amendments, or almost four months
yes.
Now.
Thank you for bringing that up. We've missed our deadline.
Well, I'm sure we missed our deadline.
No, we're missing it at the end of this month.
We need to get, the RAA working group moving so we can start discussing the other amendments that we want to discuss.
Thank you for bringing that up. That was an element that I forgot that some of us had discussed beforehand. The goal, when we originally put together our motion to the board, our goal for these two items of work being complete, in other words, recommendations on what process we should take and what issues there were to discuss about further changes to the RAA and on the Bill of Rights, were supposed to have been delivered as final or as substantive entities July 31st. We're obviously not making the July 31st. And in fact, because we waited, I think, essentially 2 months for the changes in the RAA to be approved, we're really at least 2 months behind in our process on these. And so one suggestion is that both the charters and the ways forward needed to be something that was done. How much work will get done in August? And basically setting a goal of mid-September for the work that was due in 30 July. And that was sort of the best that people could think of in terms of when it might be possible to have the 30th of July results.
I don't know what's going on. Is it just we're just lacking a motion? I mean, why are we not starting a working group? to discuss further amendments to the
because
REA?
Because we've just finally in the last day gotten a charter to discuss for that working group. We can't, you know, until the charter is slightly better formed, because I don't have a feeling that the charter as presented is consensusable within the group yet. So we've got to go through that process, and then we've got to have that charter done. So having that charter done, you know, again, I had tried to suggest a mid-August target for getting that done, but it was pointed out to me that mid-August, end of July, mid-August, when vacations are quite numerous, is really difficult. I think that part of the reason it's taken long is we did wait 2 months to start. Even though we sort of started beforehand, we really didn't get energized to get going until the board actually approved the RAA amendments that were before it. And now we've pretty much started, and we're running about 2 months late in the process.
Oh, I think there's another.
This is Tim, if I could get in the queue.
Okay, sure, I have.
And
Chuck,
Alan.
Tim. And Alan.
And Chuck.
And Chuck. Oh, I said Chuck, Tim, and Alan, because you started talking before I heard Tim ask into the queue.
Okay.
So
yeah, I was just gonna say that another factor is that impacted just about everything that was going on was the IRT work, because so many people were so heavily involved in that are also interested in this topic. So whether that's justifiable reason for delays or not, it certainly was what had impact.
So, Tim.
I was going to mention that, too. I mean, and a number of other things. All you have to do is look back at the history of the things that were posted for public comment. You know, just prior to the Sydney meeting, during the Sydney meeting, and after the Sydney meeting, and things are just finally sort of settled down a little bit in that regard. So there's been a lot of other things that have taken, everyone's time. But, as Aubrey mentioned, a draft charter has been posted to the drafting team. And I know, at least from the registrar's perspective, we've been looking and discussing that. And we're working now on, the changes that we would like to see to that. So hopefully that will keep moving forward here, and we can see something by, in maybe 6-8 weeks, probably. I'm just guessing, but something of that nature before we have a charter that we could actually take action on.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm suggesting is that we have a meeting scheduled for the end of September, and that the target date be for a charter be 2 weeks before that, so that we can vote on it at that meeting. And so that's
why. Yeah, I think that sounds reasonable.
We moved the schedule to, and I'm very grateful to Mike for bringing it up, because I had talked about doing that, and then it just slipped my mind.
Alan. It's Mike.
Sorry.
Can
you still be in the queue, please?
Sure.
Alan. Oh. No, I was going to go into some of the things that people previously said. And in retrospect, we really should have scheduled some face-to-face time in Sydney, but the overall schedule was crazy as it was, and that wasn't possible. So I don't think we can change history at this point, but I would like to see us progress as quickly as possible. And to the extent that there is our perhaps large differences or major things that people would like to see in the charter, it might be reasonable to schedule some actual discussion time in the August meeting.
Yeah. No, that's certainly, and if there's a draft sooner, but, we need to get the first part rolling, so there's something for this group to discuss. Mike.
So I just want to make sure I got this. So it's going to be another 6 weeks before we have a charter, and
yep.
Then another 2 weeks after that before we vote on it?
Probably.
I can't see it happening sooner. Wow. So it's going to be another 2 months before we even commission this group. It's basically 6 months after the RAA amendments were voted on.
But not quite as many since the board voted on them. But yes, that does seem to be the case. And as people pointed out, there's lots of reasons. Are you participating in the drafting team?
I thought I was on the list, but I don't think I've seen
anything
come through.
Okay, we should confirm that you're on the list. So maybe you can provide some energy there.
I will do my best.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to comment?
Yes, it's Tim. There hasn't been a lot of activity on that list. I mean, the last thing that has been posted, and probably the only thing for quite a while, was Steve Medlitz's draft charter. So
yes,
if you have something from Steve, you might. That's probably the only thing that we've
had. And the piece of work that you're going to see coming from Margie in the next, you know, day is quite a jump ahead in terms of what needed to be done. So it's not that nothing has been done. Quite a bit has been done. It's just there's a ways to go.
I am on the list because I saw Stefan's email on that this morning as well. So. All right. Thanks.
Any other comments on that one? So I understand that there's definitely discomfort with moving it out to mid-September. Is there any objection other than the discomfort of it having taken 6 months with moving it out to mid-September? I heard one person say, yeah, that was a realistic goal for now. Okay, so we'll mark that as the goal, and we'll try and make sure that the group, you know, delivers on that goal. Okay, on policy items, first item is working groups. We have three PDP working groups going. Fast Flux, which is Mike?
Yes, Fast Flux. I forwarded around where we're at with that. We're pretty close to a final report, subject still to anyone in the group who wants to make sort of last-minute changes at this point. And I think we're going to try to, hopefully we're going to try to prioritize our recommendations that are in that draft that you've seen. So hopefully we'll have this thing done. I mean, we've been saying it now for about 3 months that we're very close to done, and just keep coming back around to certain issues. But I'm pretty optimistic that we'll have it within the next few weeks anyway. We have another working group call scheduled next week.
Okay, thank you. And any questions on that? Okay, Registration Abuse Policies Working Group. That's awesome.
All right, I also forwarded around a note that Greg Aaron, the chair of the group, had passed to me yesterday, and I support what he's saying there as far as the status. The group is working. We're meeting every other week. We've extended our meetings to an hour and a half and starting to make a little bit of progress slowly but surely.
Okay.
I don't know if Marika or Margie have anything to add to either of those updates.
Yeah, I just wanted to the group is working on a list of abuses that have been identified, so they've been spending a bit of time working on definitions of types of abuses. And have broken up into sub-teams to research some of the issues related to particular types of abuses. So they're doing a lot of work, and there's good participation on that group.
Okay, I'd like to point out one thing from the report, just so people in this group can be thinking about it. The group has been discussing whether or not it should, because of past GNSO efforts and the six WHO IS study questions that were recently commissioned, leave WHO IS off its list of registration abuses of major examination.
Yes, I could speak
there
to that a little bit.
There's currently discussion
well.
Of whether the group should, let me just finish reading it, whether the group should include WHO IS proxy contact issues as a topic for examination. When it is ready, the group plans to send a note to council about its discussions re WHO IS. So I don't know if you needed or wanted to go into it, but I just wanted to alert anyone who hadn't read that update that something is on the table.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, as you might imagine, when we're talking about registration abuses, WHO IS just constantly comes up as a symptom of an abuse or a flag that would indicate abuse. And so we're trying desperately not to fall down what I affectionately call the WHO IS rat hole and, just get sucked into any debate about accessibility and accuracy of WHO IS information. I think we're pretty much unanimous in the group that we're not going to be taking on those debates, that obviously there's research that's hopefully one of these days going to get started on some of those topics. And I think there's general consensus in the group, if not unanimous, that, you know, the broader issues of WHO IS accessibility and accuracy should wait until those studies are done, and then, you know, that'll probably be some other group that looks at those study results. But my feeling, and I think the feeling of of a good portion of the group. I don't know if it's a majority or not, but that doesn't really matter. There is a significant block of us who do want the group to look at proxy HUE services and how those specifically are abused by criminals and other abusers of the DNS. So my feeling is that that doesn't bring us into the rat hole because we're not really talking about accessibility and accuracy at all. We're talking just about the limited instances of the use of proxy services to further abuse. So we've had a couple of discussions on it in our weekly calls and a fairly robust discussion on our list, and we're going to take it up again in our next call, which I believe is Monday or a week from Monday. And then we will put our findings, if you will, or what we're planning to do with respect to WHOIS services, if anything, to the council for your comments, our comments.
Okay, thanks. Anyone wish to comment or question on that now?
No, yeah, I've reached Stefan.
Discussion deeply, but yes, Stefan.
And Tim.
I may say what you're going to say, Tim, but our constituents certainly feel that WHOIS should be left off. We were given the part of the report that I guess it must be Jeff Eckhouse that represents the RC on this group, and we certainly feel that WHOIS is being addressed in a couple of other places already, so perhaps best to leave it off there.
Okay, thank you, Tim.
And so that was part of my comment, too. And just the a question, I guess, for Mike. You mentioned proxy. Do you see that as something distinct from privacy, or is it all-encompassing privacy proxy?
I frankly use the terms interchangeably.
Okay.
Anyone else wish to comment at this point? I expect that the issue will be on the table soon. But
yeah, I mean, and just, you know, to reply to Stefan, it's certainly noted that registrars don't want to be discussing WHOIS. But there is another large group of folks who do want to discuss it, so we're going to have to figure that out within the group.
Mike, I can't. Sorry, I have to come back in there. I can't let you say that registrars don't want to discuss WHOIS on a recorded call. That's not what I said. I said that we felt that in the context of this work, and considering the fact that there are at least two other studies being done by ICANN on WHOIS at the moment, we feel that it should not encompass WHOIS.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to move on to the next item at this point. As I say, this discussion will be coming. I'm glad that we have made note of it. The next one is post-expiration domain name recovery working group. And that's Tim, correct?
Right.
I thought I was the interim chair at this point.
Oh, okay. Oh.
But I'd be delighted to be.
But Tim
is the council person, correct. Sorry.
So sorry. So I went to liaison to the group, forgetting that you were the chair, but whoever wants to comment can.
I give the floor to the liaison. I think we have the both the same thing to report.
Yeah, and then, you know, Alan can fill in what I leave out. Basically, since we had the workshop in Sydney, and since then, and some good discussions there, but since then we've had like 14 different individuals actually express interest in participating in the working group, and I believe we have statements of interest from all of them. There might be one yet to come. So it looks like some pretty good participation so far. The first meeting is scheduled for July 28th at 1800 UTC, which I think is like 2 p.m. Eastern time. And the draft agenda is being looked at by Alan, myself, and America, which looks pretty good. So that'll probably be circulated before too long here. And I think that's about it. But
Alan,
The only other thing is, number one, thanks to Marika for pushing this work forward. I've been out of commission for the last couple of weeks, so it needed her help, and I thank her. We have tentatively decided, just on the email, that we'll probably meet every 2 weeks, at least to start with. That was not a formal decision, but that seems to be the way the direction was going. Other than that, I think Tim covered everything.
Any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Then we move on to drafting teams. And the first one I have under here is the travel policy drafting team, which is sort of basically ending up a catch-all. I'm sort of wondering where that group is, but I'd also suggest using this time to talk about travel preparation for Seoul, and I'll ask Glenn to add any information she may have that's useful or needed or normative on what we should be doing at the moment to prepare for traveling to Seoul. So I'm not sure whether Olga wants to go first or Glenn.
Thank you, Avery. This is Olga. No, we didn't have any further activity in the drafting team. So Glenn, if you can tell us, we may find some tasks to review.
I don't know if Glenn is on mute or perhaps has gone off to do something.
Well, I can check with her and let
okay,
the,
we'll
let
get
the
back.
Know.
I know that dates are coming out soon.
You hear me?
Oh, yes, now I can hear you. Thank you.
Yes, I came off mute. Every year, proposed procedures for travel will be coming out in a few days. They have been put out to staff for review, and I would say within about 2 or 3 days they will be made known to the community, and from there on we will go. The council, as you know, all councillors are being supported, and there are rooms available for all councillors, but there are no rooms yet, there are no names yet to those rooms, and the ICANN staff has very kindly said that they realize that we will not be able to give them the names probably until September.
And Glenn, this is Rob. If I can supplement that, yeah, Glenn and I did have conversations with the travel team, and on the issue of seating the new council in Seoul, they were very clear about how they didn't want the process to run the policy, and that they would be willing to accept names quite late in the process prior to Seoul to give the council and the board as much flexibility as possible to have the time to hold elections and name the appropriate travelers to Seoul. So we can go into they don't want to, but we can go even into early October if that's necessary. I just wanted to add that to the discussion.
Avery, this is Olga.
Yes, Olga.
Tim would like in the queue, too.
Okay, there's Olga, there's Tim. Anyone else?
Mike.
Tim, Mike. Anyone else?
Philip,
anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Olga.
Thank you. One thing that was mentioned in the face-to-face meeting in Sydney was that we should take consideration about visas. Not all countries are required to have a visa to go to Korea, but each of us could check that with time, because it may take some time, and perhaps it's not enough time once we know who is traveling to get the visa and then to make the travel arrangements.
Yeah, I would recommend for anyone, unless you require a ticket to get a visa, you know, people that think they may need one should probably get one, but if you need a ticket, it becomes more difficult. Tim?
Yeah, you know, I probably won't be able to answer it on this call, probably more something for Kevin, perhaps, I guess, but I'm just curious about exactly how it will work, because some of the issues, just using my case for example, you know, my wife travels with me. We want to sit together on the plane. We're not likely to want to travel coach all the way to Seoul, Korea. So if we're going to be reimbursed at coach rates, how will that be taken care of so that, you know, we can upgrade to I can upgrade to business and still be able to take advantage of the coach reimbursement. And then there's also, you know, the room. You know, since my wife travels with me, you know, we're maybe a little more particular about the kind of room we get. I have small meetings in the room, those kinds of things that I need to be able to take care of too. So that may mean, you know, a different room than what the ICANN travel budget might allow for. And again, I don't have any problem with the difference. But, you know, I'd still like to be able to take advantage of the reimbursement if it's going to be there. I just wondering how those kinds of things are going to be taken care of and how we arrange those. So
I believe that
those are questions I think that, you know, we'd like to get some answers to.
I believe that's actually covered from just conversations I've had with Kevin and his earlier discussions. You know, he's talked about, at least at this point, being the one stop for any kind of exceptions. And so I know I went through him last time when I needed a ticket that, you know, two other people were going to contribute to paying the ticket, but I wanted a constant itinerary. And, you know, he basically, but so I think that there's going to be an exceptions process that everything like that would go through.
Abri, this is Glenn.
Yes, Glenn.
Is indeed that exceptions process where all that can go through.
Yeah, I'm just wondering when we're, you know, when we're going to know what the process is.
I think that's the report that's coming out.
Just in order we can keep the cost down by not, you know, getting too late with making flight arrangements.
Avery, it's Alan. I have a comment on that.
Okay, I've got Mike, then Philip, then Alan. Mike.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering where we are, or where the board is, or who is making the decision as to, you know, which council is going to be going to Korea, or will it be both the old and the new? When are we expecting that decision to be made?
I believe that decision is on their agenda for July, for this 30 July, or 31 July, whatever day it is. I believe the intention has already been stated that it's a new council in Seoul.
All right, and I suppose I ought to just reconfirm this in case it may have changed since Sydney, that the people who have years left on their term after this next meeting, such as myself, are still on the new council, correct, until our terms are over?
I thought that was up to the various stakeholder groups.
I don't know.
I believe that's up to the stakeholder groups to decide how their representation works for the new council.
That's my understanding as well, Mrs.
So that may be the case in you know, the commercial stakeholder group, I don't know. But I don't believe that's being determined by anyone else, that that's up to the stakeholder groups to determine how they're represented.
This is Rob, if I can get in the queue.
Yes, please. Do you have a specific answer to that one?
Yeah, just to address
right,
that.
Then jump the queue.
Okay. My recollection on that is that you are correct, Avery, governed by the term limit bylaw amendment that, you know, took place several months ago. So that would be the only governor, I think, on Mike's question.
Okay, thank you. Hello.
Thanks. Just a follow-up to what Mike said. I mean, we had discussed in Sydney the our preference as council that all of the old plus the new council, which would not be double, but some people would be different, should be present in Seoul and also funded to go there. Did we actually express that directly to the board, and that's in front of them for decision in their meeting coming up?
I don't believe so. Did we actually have a formal decision that we should do that, or was that just sort of a preference? That was, I mean, I didn't do anything. And I wasn't really aware that we had made a formal decision to make such a request.
Okay. I thought that had been a consensus, which I presume would have been taken forward by yourself as our spokesman, but clearly not, in which case can I recommend that we do that if we still feel the same?
Okay.
I'd like to second that. Yeah, Tony Harris.
Okay, is there any comment or discussion on doing that basically my sending a request, I guess, both to the board and to Kevin, that the expenses for both sets be covered. Alternatively, okay. Is there any objection to doing that? And if I do that, I would float a note on the list before doing it just to make sure that I had it straight.
It's Tony, if I could comment. Just on that, I think it would be worthwhile pointing out that it isn't basically a double representation of council. I think if you look at those that have got overlapping terms into the new council, even taking account of the remark that was made earlier that it's up to stakeholder groups, I don't think it comes to a great number of people that would be added to the list.
Oh, no, it's probably only a couple. You're right. Yeah. I'll. Any other comment? I know I've still got Alan on the list, but on this particular topic. So if there's no objection.
I'm very sorry.
Yes.
Can I just ask a question? Are there any plans to have the new councillors that will be coming in, I was going to say tutored, but that's possibly the wrong word, but helped in some ways by the outgoing councillors that they'll be replacing?
I would think that would be an individual
effort. Again, Avery, Tony, if I could just comment on that. I think when we discussed it before, that was part of that discussion, that we would have the opportunity to do that and do it in a way that it wouldn't have to be exercised over a teleconference. So that was part of the plan, or part of the rationale, put it that way.
Okay. Thank you. Alan?
Yeah, just to comment on Tim's question about arrangements and upgrading and things like that. The comments that Kevin has made implied that they certainly are willing to have someone pay part of the ticket, and procedures would allow for that, number one. And number two, they also said that if you have a particularly pressing need, either because of other travel arrangements or availability of a particularly low price or something like that, they'd be willing to do something prior to the formal announcement of the start of the travel procedures. I would guess that means they can't handle everyone like that, but they're willing to handle exceptions even if the formal announcement hasn't been made. I'm not sure I'm speaking out of turn, but he has said that before.
Yeah, he basically had those three tutorial sessions. He told us what was going to be there. Okay, any other issues on travel? So I've got two action items in terms of letters.
So, Avery, sorry, this is Olga. What's the next step?
Well, the next step is to get, there's two next steps. One is I need to write a note to Kevin and, I guess, to the board, although I'm not positive it needs the board, but if people want me to send it to the board, I certainly will. And we can discuss that more on the list, whether it's the board that needs to deal with this issue or whether it counts as an exception to Kevin, and leave it at that. That, and also we're going to be receiving the guidelines shortly,
okay.
And I guess the next step is to read them and see if there's anything
okay.
We as a council need or want to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on then to the next drafting team, which is the IEDNG working group update. Now, we've already discussed that partly in terms of that being a separated effort from the big that may or may not have support is still being discussed in the team, and a couple people expressed viewpoints on that. Edmund, is there more you'd like to say at this point? Because you knew this was in the slot.
Yes, I want to talk about this, but I just remembered that we forgot to talk about something about the resolution after the resolution to get people's participation in the JIG. Should I talk about it now, or you
might
want
as well? If it's something we left out that we need to do, please.
Okay. So I guess from the resolution, we need to get volunteers to participate in the in the JIG group, and I just want to, I guess, open this up, and we can, for whoever's interested from their constituency, to participate in that group. And if we end up having more than five, we'll have to make some sort of decision, probably in our next meeting.
Okay, so that seems like something that I can take to the list
right
after this meeting and have people think about it in their constituencies and basically come up with something. We also need to wait before, just to make sure that the charter has also been approved in CCNSL.
Right, and in the meanwhile, you know, those who are interested could probably informally start. I can include them in the loop where the CCNSO is discussing the item. So we should take it to the list, but just to make sure that we have this action item.
That your name is in the list for the.
Also, I have a question on this, Mike.
Yes, Mike.
So doesn't the charter say that it has to be members of the GNSO council?
No.
Okay.
The GNSO council would appoint them
in accordance with
sense.
The rules, right.
Okay, sorry, I thought it changed.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So,
now go on
now,
with the working.
Yeah, okay. So I heard the response earlier on. I think Tim made that comment, and from the drafting team as well, about questions about whether it could be possible. I guess, you know, just going back to where it all started, us as the GNSO put out a couple of statements and a number of times about the importance of the parity in terms of time frame of the introduction of IDN CCTLDs and IDN GTLDs. And I think it's still, or at least personally, I think it's still an issue, and it's potentially becoming more of an issue as we go forward. There are three things that I from all the discussions, there are three things that I've I should say there are three observations. One of which is to make sure that, you know, whatever is discussed is really a backup plan, because right now the aim is to have the new GTLD process and the IDN CCTLD fast track in relatively close time frame. So, you know, just make sure that this is, you know, if anything that's being discussed, it's really a backup plan in case the new GTLD process, for example, is further delayed. That needs to be clear. Second item is that to not just talk about an IDN GTLD fast track, there are potentially other ways to address the issue of the time parity between the two, the IDN CCTLDs and IDN GTLDs. And the third one, it seems like in all the discussions previously, well, at least myself has been avoiding the question about, you know, if we are going to talk about a fast track, how might it look like, and if it's ever going to, you know, be able to meet certain criteria that people feel strongly about. So I guess what I'm saying is that I'm hoping that I don't have to give up just yet, and if we do address these three issues and come up with some things that people could agree upon, and what I'm trying to say is that I'd like to sort of have a final kick at the can to see if we can see if it's possible to figure out a way forward, given what we've learned from the discussion before, and these three things being part of it.
Okay. Any comment?
Yeah, you can add Chuck in the queue.
Okay, Chuck. Anyone else? Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, one of the things we need to keep in mind on this is that it's not just a matter of delaying. If we wait until we know that there's going to be a huge time difference between the introduction of ID and CCTLDs in the fast track versus the ID and GTLD process, it'll be too late. If we elect to postpone this until we know definitively there's going to be a gap, it won't matter because it'll take months to come up with anything to close the gap, and by then the gap will have already happened. So I think it's important to realize that it's not just a matter of postponing this until we know more. It's looking very significantly like there will be a significant gap between the two. So it's just a reality that's there.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Tim.
Okay, Tim, go ahead.
So, Tuck, the gap you're talking about is when an actual IDN, TLD, whether it's CC or G, goes into the root? Or a difference or a gap in applying and approving? But there's a difference. I mean, you know, if the CCTLD can apply first,
yeah.
You know, that's one thing. If they can actually get in the root first, then that's really where the real issue is, right?
Sure. No, I totally agree. Yeah, the real issue is in the root. But unless the board takes some position and says none, they have to go in the root at least, you know, at reasonably the same time, then what will happen is if the CCTLD fast track process starts in, let's say, January, their process is going to be much simpler than the G process by far. So those that are ready could probably be in the route in a matter of just 2 or 3 months. Okay? Now, in 2 or 3 months after January, you're not even going to have anybody approved in the G side, and then there's an additional process. So you're talking a gap right there of going into the root of probably minimum 3 months, more realistically probably at least 6, maybe longer.
Yeah, at least 8 or 9.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. Yeah.
So just a little background, I think Adrian's probably, and Stefan too, probably made it clear before, but I think one of the major concerns from registrars is just that. How do you do that without delaying the entire process?
Well,
so, you know, because there's applicants who aren't interested in an IDN, they just want a GTLD, and so, you know, how do you account for that without delaying everybody else?
Well, one of the things that Edmund, I thought, did a good job on is putting that condition in there. Maybe it needs to be reinforced and made stronger, that nothing should happen in this regard if it causes a delay. Is that a correct statement on my part, Edmund?
Yeah, I think that's pretty close to a consensus that, you know, at least in the group that talked about this.
Avery, can I come in?
Okay, certainly, yeah. I want to point out that it looks like there's probably still reason for this group to keep talking about. I mean, the drafting team keep talking about it. But go ahead.
Thank you. Just to say that I do understand that was put into the text by Edmund, and that there was an attempt to ensure that no delays would result from either one or the other of the directions that they were looking to go in. But our worry is that delays will, you know, kind of creep up. If you start to add another procedure, another fast track, then delays will creep up and will be there with us before we're able to react. So that's something that I think we have to keep in mind. You know, it's one thing to put in the charter that if any delays, no delays should be caused, and quite another to embark on work and then realize that it's caused delays and it's too late to do anything about it.
Okay. exactly.
But that's controllable by what ideas are proposed in terms of closing the gap. Totally controllable.
Right. I suggest we take it back to the drafting team working on it. There's obviously still a good conversation going on. I would question the controllability of delays that are constantly slipping in anyway. But
if I can just quickly, just one sentence about that. That's exactly what I meant by, you know, if the observation that we need to flesh it out a little bit more before we can make any decision, and that's part of I think what I'd like to, you know, try to suggest at the drafting team.
So hopefully the people will join you in the conversation and you can
sure
keep it going. Is there any objection to keeping the conversation going? No, I don't hear any objection. So okay, I'd like to move on to GNSO improvement working. First one was policy process, steering committee, PPSC, the PDP team, and the working group team, the work team. I haven't seen a report from the group. I don't know if someone on staff wants to speak of it. I know I was at the last PDP meeting, but Rob, would you like to make a comment? No, I can make a comment. Basically, I think the work is ongoing in both the PDP and on the working group work team. I do think, and in fact was asked to mention this by Jeff, that there's a real lack of sufficient participation. And I had to admit that I'd be making this plea with you all to, you know, get the people from your constituencies who are signed up to actually participate. And I'd be slightly hypocritical in making this plea because I hadn't necessarily made it to all the working sessions either. But basically, there's definitely work being done, but there is a dearth on both sides of enough people being there to keep it moving forward at a good rate. So there's work in progress. There's lots of substantive discussions going on in terms of PDPs and how they're structured and such, and in terms of working groups, but it still needs more time. But also pointing out that none of these things at the moment was decided to be critical tasks for the seating of the new bicameral council in Seoul, so it's not a crisis that they're running slow. Any other comments that or question one would like to have?
Sure, Aubrey. This is Margie. Can I add to that?
Please do.
Okay. And I apologize if there's too much noise behind me. There's somebody mowing their lawn. in any event, that working team has been working on reviewing the planning and initiation phase of council work. And they've been focusing on the preliminary steps, like today we talked about, really delved into the different aspects of developing the charters. And so, as Aubrey indicated, you know, they are working slowly because of lack of participation. But we are, when we do have people on the call, it is fairly we do get some work completed. So they're working on the planning and initiation phase.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments?
Just a quick one. I think, you know, this morning, PDP meeting was planned on a council day. So, I mean, that's part of the reason I wasn't there. I'm not sure if any of the other councilors on that group were there or not, but I couldn't exactly devote half of my work day to ICANN today.
Yeah, I was there. I'm not sure who else from the council was. Yeah. Scheduling meetings is, and that's why we have to outreach to more and more people so that fewer and fewer of us have conflicting meetings and two meetings in a day. Okay, as I said, on the working group team, it's pretty much the same. There are drafts, and there's occasionally enough people to get there, and Ken has been carrying the pencil for much of the work, now it's proceeding in that same manner, haltingly, but making forward progress. Any other comments? Okay, Operations Steering Committee, Chuck?
Yes, let me make a general comment first. I like what Mike did in terms of sending some brief reports to the council list. And so what I did is I, during the meeting, sent an OSC report to the list, and it's just two or three bullets under each of the three working teams, so it's very brief, which I think is the way it needs to be. And I wonder if in the future if we could save some time in our meetings if, where possible, we emailed brief reports on these various tasks to the list. Now, that it ideally should be done probably at least 24 hours in advance to give people a little bit of time, but I think if we keep them brief enough, it can be done very quickly. And then if people have questions or if it is an item that needs discussion, we can certainly spend time on it, and we should. Anyway, that's an idea that we can talk about later. With regard to the three work teams, if you looked at the email I sent to the council list about a half hour ago, you can see these things. The council operations team is continuing to work on the rules of procedure. I think once the board takes action on the bylaws changes, hopefully in their meeting on the 30th, they should be able to proceed and wrap up the portions of the rules that need to be in place before Seoul, and then send them to the council and with enough lead time so that we can work on that. On the constituency stakeholder group operations, work is continuing there. We have just a little bit more time where we'll accept comments on the toolkit of services for constituencies and stakeholder groups and interest groups and so forth. We're going to cut that off at the end of July, so if anybody has anything to add, get it to us before then. There's a lot of analysis going on with regard to existing constituency charters and new stakeholder group charters, et cetera, and trying to look at any recommendations that might be appropriate to be common across the board. Last of all, the communications work team, they have a lot more on their plate besides just the website, but they have worked with ICANN web staff and have come up with a fairly comprehensive document of business requirements for the GNSO replacement website. And that has been sent to the full Operations Steering Committee for review, and to the extent that any of the OSC members want to forward it to web experts or others in their own constituencies, they've been asked to do that. That's my report. Any questions?
Any questions?
I want to make a comment.
Okay.
This is Olga. Thank you, Avery. This comment is as chair of the OSC-CSG Constituency Operations Work Team. The involvement of all the constituencies is relevant for a good outcome of our working team. And in this sense, we are having few involvement of the business constituency. So I would welcome if someone, maybe Zaid or someone else, is really trying to involve more actively. We can set up maybe a specific conference call with him or her and give some update. Perhaps myself, Michael Young, Julie can join. We can join in a call and briefly give some update of what we are doing and so if they get involved. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay, thank you. Chuck. Restructuring efforts. And I guess this one I'll go to Rob. There's basically the status of the bylaw amendments. We had our emergency meeting and our extra meeting and did send them forward. As you all saw, I sent the note as I think requested and as including the elements that people had asked for. Hopefully that went okay. Then I'll ask for stakeholder group charter update, constituency charter update, et cetera. So, Rob, can you take this one?
Thank you, Avery. Yes. To follow up on your comments about the bylaw amendments and the council action, as you're all aware, there is a public comment forum open for comments on the bylaw amendments. In addition to the package that was approved by the GNSO Council, the staff had also posted, if I recall correctly, a couple of additional amendments that were consistent with the SIC recommended charter proposals, that if they were adopted, then some additional amendments would need to be made. Just as an FYI to you all, as a staff, we have been going back through in an effort, due diligence-wise, to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. Ken Bauer and Margie Milam have identified a couple of areas where we either missed a paragraph and had to renumber things, or identified areas that were just not captured. I think one example of that, Margie, was the travel policy and trying to make sure that that was appropriately referenced in the bylaws and handled consistent with what's been decided in other proceedings. So the bylaws are teed up for the board to discuss and make a decision in July, but there's still some active discussion about whether the board will make any final approval of the amendments. My personal perception is that it will probably be an active item of discussion, but because the comment proceeding is closing literally the day before the board meeting, I'm not comfortable that they will make a final decision. But obviously, that's not my decision. So that's an update on that. Any questions, comments, or follow up on that?
Any comments? Anyone wish to speak? Okay, go ahead, Rob.
I'd observe and share that right now we only have two comments in the proceeding, and one of those is from you, Avery, reporting the results of the council decision. Philip also filed some comments, and if I recall again correctly, Philip, you had even identified an area where we needed to go back through and capture some stuff with respect to the quorum description. So there are those things that are still hanging out there. But if any of you do have additional comments, please, you've got some additional time to submit those in that proceeding.
What is the deadline on that one now?
That's the 29th.
The 29th. Okay, thank you.
Right. Next item on your list was the stakeholder group charters. Obviously, that's been an area that was significantly discussed in Sydney, and subsequent to that, as I reported earlier, the board did pass a resolution instructing the SIC to post those proposed charters for there to be some opportunity for further community comment in that regard. That proceeding closes today. We extended it by a couple of days at David Maher's request so that the registries could get in a revised version of their stakeholder group charter, which has now been received from Jeff Newman. So you have to close the business today to get in any final comments on that. The bulk of the comments are on the NCSG charter proposal. That's generated a lot of traffic to date. I'm going to summarizing those comments when all is said and done and we close the proceeding and sharing that with the board and the community in the comment forum itself. The charters are teed up, once again, to be discussed and approved by the board at the meeting at the end of this month. There's still active SIC discussions, and undoubtedly there will be further board discussions over the coming week prior to the 30 July meeting for that. One area that has generated some discussion was what I had alerted you all to on our last meeting, that staff was preparing its own sort of suggestions for some additional charter elements. I think that's the term that we use with respect to fleshing out and clarifying a little bit better what we thought the bylaw principles of transparency, openness, fairness, and representativeness might look like. Those were posted. They haven't really engendered any specific comments. Most of the comments have been on the SIC revisions to the charters so far. But, of course, we'll be looking for that feedback, and the SIC is actively discussing those as well. I think that's it for stakeholder group charters. Any questions, comments, follow-up
on
that?
Anyone wish to speak or comment?
Rob, I have a question. Bill.
Okay, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Just looking at your suggested additional charter elements on transparency and so on, can you explain how exactly you see this working with the determination of which parties in each GNSO structure are active and inactive and the information that will be collected on them and who's supposed to be doing that? Who's going to be making judgments about what constitutes active and inactive? Are we also going to be judging the quality of the activity? I'm just a little puzzled as I read this document. By the way, we're also, I'm in the process of working on two other comments for the stakeholder thing, so you'll be getting those very soon, too.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I tried to fashion that document, I don't know if I was articulate enough to, or make it clear enough that suggestions and ideas that we were presenting were not intended to provide detailed ways for any group to conduct its business. The concept of membership action, you know, active membership versus inactive membership, came from our review of the existing constituency charters, in which a couple of the charters talked about, from a transparency perspective, identifying not only who their members are in their categories of membership, but who might be an active member in terms of either paying dues or participating. We floated that concept because, you know, from a transparency perspective and with concerns about capture and the rest, we thought it was important to be able to have each individual structure within the GNSO be able to identify, do we have a situation where we've got active members and we're participating, or the people on the list, have they been there for 5 years and they're not participating? From a perspective of constituency statements or follow-ups where we're looking to get more information, I think under the GNSO improvements process about how discussions are conducted and what points of view are expressed, is that it would be useful to know, is this somebody who is an active participant or is somebody stuffing the ballot box at the last minute by adding, 500 new members? That's not to make a judgment about it, but the suggestion was so that people would understand who was participating, what's the quality of that participation. What remains open, I think, Bill, is that exact point. It's, well, how do you evaluate that? Well, that would be up to the GNSO structure. And I would imagine that given the differences in different parts of the community, there would be different approaches to that.
I'm just wondering, from the standpoint of building stakeholder engagement, how useful it would be to publish a list, which says here, collect, maintain, and publish active and inactive member names, to publish a list saying that somebody has been a member of the body for a certain amount of time but hasn't, say, spoken up on email in the past 2 months, to list them as inactive. I'm sure that they'd greatly appreciate that and find it very motivating.
Well, the example that immediately springs to mind, and somebody from the registry's constituency can pop in on this, my recollection from their charter for their constituency was that they had a mechanism that said, if you haven't participated in X period of time, and they defined participation by a certain measure, then they, allow somebody to vote or not vote on a policy decision. I'm not sure what the rationale is for that, but it's an example of a structure that a current group uses to keep track of that.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah, sure. Please briefly, and then.
I'll be brief. It's one of the problems we started dealing with as the number of members started to grow, and it's going to be even more so in the future, is that we had trouble reaching a quorum, and to do business if we didn't differentiate between active and inactive members, we had a problem. We couldn't even do business. And so we made that distinction, but we defined active very loosely. They could participate on an email list within a certain amount of time, or vote in a vote that's taken, and once they're declared inactive, to become active, all they have to do is participate on the email list or something else. So it's very simple, but it was the primary reason was to avoid the situation where we couldn't do business because we didn't have a quorum.
Okay, I wanna move on this because we're at 1:15 and we're at 1 hour and 59 minutes at the moment.
I'm sorry, I will try to be brief.
Okay, no, we've discussed things. I'm not accusing you. Constituency charges.
Jim Rejoining.
With respect to constituency charters, as I discussed with you, Aubrey, this is sort of a two-parter. We've got the existing constituency charters that have been submitted for reconfirmation or reauthorization, and we have new constituency petitions. The existing constituency petitions have continued to be on hold from a board perspective because, you know, from a gating perspective, they thought it was important to resolve the stakeholder group charters first and then work their way through the structure that way. So I would imagine that once a resolution is taken with respect to the stakeholder group charters, that then they can turn their attention to the existing constituency charters. Because obviously certain changes from the stakeholder group level will impact them. With respect to new constituencies, again, the board is teed up for a discussion of the new constituency petitions and charters at its meeting this July. There is no formal board agenda out yet, but that's one of the prospective agenda items. Again, it's not clear whether the board will make final decisions on the charter documents or just conduct the discussion and provide additional direction to the staff in terms of what we should do with them. But that is teed up, so you could expect potentially that there would be some decisions at the end of this month on those petitions as well. And right now, as you all know, there's the four formal ones that are in. I have heard nothing about any new groups sort of coming to the fore as of now.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay. The last thing I had on the agenda.
Sorry, Avery.
Yes.
Can I just advise that, I mean, this is so late in the meeting that I don't want to start a discussion on it now, but I think it's a discussion that we'll have to have at some point on where these constituencies, some of these constituencies might be able to go and not go, and how that could work. So maybe at some point in the next meeting or in the meetings to come, we might want to schedule something for that.
I'm not sure it's a council thing, but certainly I could put it on the agenda.
Just as a discussion thing, it's not.
Right. One of the things that would definitely be interesting is also to see how the board looks at these applications and whether it looks at them in the light of the stakeholder groups that it's defined and sort of says, you know, you need to do a better job of aligning with an existing stakeholder group. So that may also be the answer that comes out at some point. But, yeah, okay, I'll add it to an agenda, although, as I say, I'm not sure that the council itself has any role in it. In fact, it doesn't. And other than individual comments that we may wish to make in terms of the reviews of the constituencies. But, you know, certainly putting a discussion on when we have extra time is probably okay. People don't object. Any other comments? The last I had was a countdown to Seoul, a schedule check. There's not much time to go through that now. And what I actually recommend is that we write it up. Now, part of that is dependent on what the board does. And if the board approves bylaws and stakeholder group charters, then we're in one schedule. And if they put it off another month, we're in another schedule. So it might be worth actually getting into what our countdown schedule looks like until we see what they've done. I don't know. Rob, I'd ask you to talk with me on this issue. But as I say, we're already 3 minutes over now, and I don't know. But certainly, is there anything you'd like to add to it?
No, not at this moment, I don't think.
Okay, thanks. So does anyone else have anything to bring up before I close the meeting? No, in which case, thank you all for your participation, and I'll talk to you again next time.
Thanks, Ari.
Thank you, Ari. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.